Our nation desperately needs revival, and that always begins in united prayer.
Lord, you promised that if we, your people, who are called by your name, will humble ourselves and pray, Lord, and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, that you would hear us from heaven, and that you would forgive our sins and heal our land. Lord, the fields are ripe for harvest, and we pray that you would send the workers. Raise up an army of believers, Lord, in every neighborhood in this country.
If you are a Christian believer, God placed you where you live to help your neighbors become vibrant, reproducing disciples of Jesus Christ. Sign up free at blesseveryhome.com and you'll receive a map and list of your neighbors along with the tools to pray for them by name, care for, and share the gospel with them.
Raise up praying neighbors, Lord, so that every household in America might be lifted up by name before your throne of grace. Lord, I pray these things with all my heart. We pray for a sustaining revival. Revival like no one has ever seen. So start a revival, Lord, and start it in me.
Welcome once again. My name is Pastor Justin Waples. Today is Valentine's Day, and today's message is titled, Love Your Neighbors. And soon after the second service today, right at noon, everyone in church is going to receive an email with the link to our new blesseveryhome.com prayer online tool that was referenced in the video that we just watched. If you don't get the email, it is okay. Go to eastwhiteoak.church, click on Oak Central, and you'll find all the links right there. It'll also be on our Facebook page later today. You can access it there. I will be explaining the tool in more depth and exactly how easy it is to use towards the end of our message today. And a brief summary here is it essentially allows you to pray for each of your neighbors by name, just as if you opened up the white pages and looked up a name or an address in the white pages. Does anybody still receive the white pages? I did get a book this year. This is a digital version of that. By way of introduction this morning, I do want to introduce you to two different men. The first is Dave Runyon. He is the co-author of the book, The Art of Neighboring. We've studied this before at church. Our small groups have done it. I have plenty copies of these books for you if you would like one right up front. So come down at the end if you haven't read this book and grab one from me. It's a gift from you for you from East White Oak. My only request is that if you take the book and when you finish it, you have to give it to somebody else to read next. If you're at home and can't come pick one up, just let me know, call the church office, and I'll get one sent to you. The second man I want to introduce you to is Chris Cooper, and Chris Cooper is the director and creator of blesseveryhome.com. I actually did a 30-minute Zoom recorded interview with both of these men, and this panel discussion will dig deeper into how do we initiate an effective prayer ministry and then tie that to our church's Art of Neighboring initiative. That will be available later this afternoon on our website, and you'll get it in your email link and on Facebook. So if you have time and that's something that interests you, I welcome you to go and watch that full video. I will pull this morning several very short clips out from that so we can get some of the best content. There's a whole lot more if you'd like to watch the full interview. So I'd like to introduce you first to Dave Runyon. He is the co-author of The Art of Neighboring.
Dave, will you introduce yourself and give us a brief introduction? What is The Art of Neighboring and the ministry you've been a part of, the book that you co-authored? Tell us.
Sure. I live out here in the Denver metro area, and I served as a pastor for about 10 years here and worked at two great churches. And then about 10 years ago, I started a ministry that just helps church, government, and business leaders work together around local issues. And throughout that journey, I fell into this idea of literal neighboring and the value of us as believers All the great stuff that we're doing at the rescue missions, overseas, at our places of work, I want to just lift all that up. It's really, really valuable. And it, of course, it's loving our neighbor. But I think sometimes in doing all that, we forget that Jesus meant our actual neighbors too. And God's just kind of put me on a journey and brought me back to this reality that the people who live right around me are, that there's a great opportunity to just build significant relationships with them. And so the book details some of that journey, and my buddy Jay and I wrote it. It's been a lot. We had no idea kind of where it would lead, and it's been a lot of fun to kind of watch how just a simple idea can spread pretty fast.
Dave has really helped me and the outreach team here at East White Oak grab a hold of this art of neighboring. And over the summer, I did preach two Sunday morning sermons on it. And so you can check those out by going to our website, eastwhiteoak.church. Click on the Watch Sermons tab, and you can then select sermons from a decade back by name, by title, maybe even by sermon topic, and you can find that to watch if you'd like. Our small groups, many of them went through this four-week study on the art of neighboring through Right Now Media, which is a free resource to church. Again, if you go to eastwhiteoak.church, find the tab for Right Now Media, you can have free access to hundreds of thousands of tens of thousands of Bible study tools. They're there for you. See me up front at the end of the service if you want to copy the book to take with you. I then now want to introduce you to Chris Cooper. Chris Cooper is, again, the director and creator of BlessEveryHome.com.
Chris, would you introduce yourself, give us a brief introduction into what your role is and what BlessEveryHome.com is all about?
Well, thanks very much, Justin. My name is Chris Cooper, and we started BlessEveryHome.com 24 years ago with the Jesus Video Project in Kansas City. And so, you know, we discovered that the typical American cannot tell you the names of their four closest neighbors, even though Jesus commands us to love our neighbors and become lights for Christ to them. So we started out providing neighborhood prayer lists to people, and we ended up back in 1996, we had 10,000 believer households in the Kansas City area that adopted an average of four unchurched, far from God neighbor homes and lived a pray, care, share lifestyle during the year. And at Christmas time, they gift wrapped the Jesus VHS tape and put it with a plate of cookies and a personal note, and then delivered as a Christmas gift. And then they had a natural opportunity to follow up after Christmas. So that was the beginning of BlessEveryHome.com back 24 years ago. So that's how we got started.
Chris has spent several hours training with me and then me now with the outreach team, and we're so excited to share this online website with you today as a prayer opportunity for you to take forward. One short sentence I want to share with you. It says, "The Lord strategically planted every church to help their neighbors become reproducing disciples of Jesus Christ." You see, this is one of our vital signs here at East White Oak Bible Church. As we are seeking to be worshipers maturing in Christ, we want to be making disciples. And what better and more purposeful place than right outside our own front door? Dave Runyon, the author of The Art of Neighboring, gave me some great feedback during our interview that, you can watch fully online later. And I want to look at what Dave has to say when I asked him the question about leaning in towards our neighbors and seeing our home as an outpost for ministry and not just a refuge for us to come home after a long day. Let's hear what Dave has to say.
Dave, question for you. So we're in this crisis here. How can we use this time? And these are some of your own words that you've shared with me. How do we lean towards our neighbors, become a catalyst in our neighbors' lives, and then see our homes as that outpost for ministry, not just a refuge for us to go home and to retreat to?
Yeah, that's a lot of how I looked at my home for much of my adult life. And, you know, I was out there and I had a job where I was dealing with people all day long. And I just used to come home and just go, okay, you know, try to put things down and just be the best I can, you know, for my wife and my kids. And that's obviously incredibly important. But I looked at my home almost like a refuge, and I was just missing. There was this whole network. There was this whole world that was happening right outside my front door. But I was just running hard and then trying to just kind of insulate, for lack of a better word. And I'm an extrovert, so I get how this happens. And so I think especially right now, Justin, during this time where we're not seeing people at work as much as we used to. We're not, you know, our kids aren't seeing people at school. They're starting to go back. You know, all these normal places where we get touches with people have been significantly limited. And yet we see people out walking around more than we ever have. And so I think this is just an incredible time. And it's just a win on all fronts for us to go and to have those, what I would call the mildly awkward conversations. That person that you've seen out there walking around, you know, seven or eight times, and you kind of go, hey, man, or, you know, what's going on? And don't use their name on purpose because you don't know it. This is an amazing time just to say, hey, you know what? I've seen you a ton. You know, I think we've met once before. Like, can you remind me what's your name? Like, just something that small makes a massive, massive difference. And so I think one of the best things we can just do right now is have our eyes open for the stuff that's happening right on our block, right in our apartment complex or condo or wherever you live. And then just to be able to kind of like be the type of person that can lean into the mildly awkward moment. Yeah.
Dave makes the point well that if we want to engage with our neighbors, we're going to have the courage to get up and to go out and to meet them. And for that encouragement and a little obedience that we're going to have as well, I want us to open up our Bibles this morning and find where we can get that encouragement from. And also, when we do build up that encouragement and we're strengthened by God to go out and share his word, what do we even share with our neighbors? If I've prayed for them and now I'm talking to them, what do I share with them? I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 3 today. If you have your Bibles with you, you can take that out. Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to be focusing on verses 14 to 21. By way of introduction here, the first part of Paul's letter in Ephesians, the first three chapters, set up what's going to happen in the second half of Ephesians, chapters 4 through 6. Paul has told us that the purpose of what I'm going to call, just for today, his Valentine's Day love letter, is that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith, and Paul is saying this, and I pray for you, being rooted and established in love, that you may have the power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. This should be what we want to share with our neighbors. Amen, church? Paul's prayer is that we're going to read today is like a key in a doorway opening between two different rooms. Halfway through the book of Ephesians, this prayer is the pivotal turning point from the first half to the second half. And the prayer becomes a hinge for the entire book of Ephesians. This prayer is one which he describes the love of our Savior, a prayer which contains for us the central message of the gospel. And it starts, Paul, his prayer in chapter 3, verse 1. In these first few words, he says, "For this reason, I, Paul," and then he stops. And in context here, for the next 13 verses, he puts the prayer in perspective for us. Because Paul is so overwhelmed that he's now bowing because of the mystery that he's about to explain of the Jew and the Gentile and how they can be saved through this man called Jesus Christ. Paul is so overwhelmed with the mystery of the church, with the mystery of new creation. He's overwhelmed with the mystery of all mankind being equal with Christ. Because no one person is worth more than the other, all of us receive the fullness of God's love. Paul was so overwhelmed that he writes in chapter 3 how the mystery of God's love was revealed to him. And today I pray that that same mystery of God's love would be revealed to us so that we can take it home and we can share it with our neighbors. What a better way to start off 2021 than to say that you've loved your neighbors well, and by the end of it, that you've shared the gospel well with one of them. Paul then starts his letter of God's love again in verse 14 with this prayer. And I think Paul wrote it to the Ephesians because he knew that they needed a reminder of God's love. And perhaps we need that same reminder of God's love today as well. Stand with me as we read God's word this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Paul bows his knees to God here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. He's bowing his knees to God. It says, for this reason I kneel before the Father. You know, I think we struggle sometimes to comprehend just how much we are loved by God. I think often it's because we don't spend enough time with him in relationship. We don't spend time with relationship with him in prayer. To know him and to know his character. When we don't spend time with our loving God, bad things begin to happen in our minds. We might think we're not smart enough, or not handsome enough, or not pretty enough. Or we may simply think that we don't deserve this love that God is offering. I'm here to tell you today that that's a lie. And I'm going to prove it to you in Scripture. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, all the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. One reason Paul is bowing here is to reduce the distraction of his time in his day and to focus only on God during his time of prayer. And this verb, to bow, is a very strong word that's only used four times in the New Testament. It's used once here. It's used again in Romans chapter 11, verse 4. And Paul is then quoting the Old Testament in 1 Kings 19:18, where God tells Elijah that 7,000 men had not bowed the knee to Baal. It was used again by him in Romans 14:11, quoting the Old Testament again, Isaiah 45:23, where God declares that he alone is God and that every knee would bow and every tongue would give praise to him. And once more in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul states that God highly exalted Christ, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, whether they're in heaven, on earth, or under the earth. You see, Paul is bowing here in worship and in submission. And before we go too much further this morning, I would ask you to think to yourself and ask, will I bow my knee in worship and submission to what God is calling me to today and his holiness? You may not feel, or you may have never been loved unconditionally on this earth by others due to our sinful nature, but I promise that you are loved by God always, and he is a God worthy of our worship. And I'm going to show it to you. Can you imagine Paul is on his knees and he's praying for you and he's praying for me even to today, because Paul is praying for the church. And I'm going to quickly go through verses 15 to 21, and I'm going to paraphrase as if Paul was there and we're reading his prayer, and he's praying on his knees, verses 15 and 16, Lord, give this church the strength which comes only from your heavenly Father, and may it be according to your glory, Father. The first half of verse 17, Paul may have said, Lord, reveal to its members your spirit, and let them know that your spirit is with them and that it dwells within them. the second half of verse 17, Paul would have said, Lord, give them a foundation that's rooted and grounded in love so that we may be able to understand, to comprehend. Lord, verse 18, Lord, allow them to comprehend these things with my beloved, the endless love that you give. Verse 19, Lord, show them the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge and fills them with the fullness of God. In the last two verses, 20 and 21, Lord, use your power to work in them and bring glory to your church and Jesus Christ throughout all the generations. And you see, that is the culmination of his prayer here. That's how he ends it, that we would have the power to understand, the ability to understand. This is what Paul is praying. He is praying, Lord, reveal God's love to these people. Reveal it that we may know the fullness of your work on the cross. Reveal it so that we may know the fullness of your power over sin in our lives. Lord, reveal it that we may know the fullness of being guided by your amazing love. Paul is praying for those that he loves so much. He's praying for you and for me today. Paul preaches the love of Christ here, and I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18, specifically for a few minutes here. This is the exact verse that I want to focus on. The ESV says that you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth of the love of Christ. See, Paul is telling us that the love of Christ is too large for to be confined by any normal measurements. The love of Christ here is the love that he has for the church as a united body. From the beginning of eternity past, and now for all believers who trust in him as an individual for eternity future. The saints here that he's talking about are you and me, the church. He's not talking about angels here, he's talking about us. And the point he's trying to make is that Christian maturity and growth for the individual cannot occur solely in isolation. It must be accomplished in the context with other believers. This again is why here at East White Oak, we have these three vital signs to show the health of our ministries and the health of ourselves, which actually sounds very familiar to the verses that we're reading here this morning. Because as we are seeking to be worshipers maturing in Christ, we are here the three vital signs rooted in Scripture, growing in Christ, and making disciples. Although we do these things as individuals, we can't truly grow in isolation and do need to be connected to a local body of believers. And here at Eastwood Oak, when we are gathered together in person or online, we will do that through our pathways of discipleship. You're in the first pathway right now. This is our Sunday morning worship service. We also have Sunday morning Bible fellowships for all ages. A separate class that you can go and attend. We had electives today for the adults. We had children and youth programming this morning. And the third would be through small groups, whether at homes, here at church, or online as well. The text here does not specifically state what the measurements and definitions of the measurements of the breadth, length, height, and depth represent. The context here only says that his love is immeasurable. So I have a little test for us this morning. So everybody hold out one of your hands. So everybody hold out one of your hands like this. Now make a little bit of a cup with that hand. And I want you to think in this cup, in your hand, what could you hold in your hand? And then how much of that thing do you think you could hold in that hand? I tell you, if my dad was here today, he'd say, how many peanut M&Ms can I hold in my hand? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12 says that God measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. The waters to fill the entire earth fit in the palm of his hand. We can survey God's power and love. Paul says that you being rooted and grounded in love may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth. I like to think of it this way. Not to define these terms dogmatically, but that the love of Christ is wide enough that it can reach around the whole world to all people, that it's long enough to stretch from eternity past to eternity future, that is deep enough to pull people from the depths of sin and even from the grip of Satan himself. And it's high enough to raise both that Jew and Gentile, both you and me, to the heavens. But these four words are debated in their meaning, and without being dogmatic, I think the best and simplest interpretation of them would be to consider them a four-in-one word description of how vast Christ's love is. Return back to the beginning of verse 18, that you may have strength. This meant to have enough strength, to be full of strength, or in other words, to have freedom, to be fully qualified to then comprehend something. The definition of this strength is to have power, to have skill, the means, or the opportunity to do something. It's a compound word, which is one of the strongest words for strength, and it signifies one being completely capable of doing or experiencing something. Verse 18 says, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints. That's the body. Paul's point in making in asking for strength is that we would be able to grasp something. And it's implying that God is going to have to help us provide that strength in order that we may grasp it. He's praying for the ability for us to comprehend. To comprehend here means to take literally, to hold or to seize something, and to make it one's own. And this begs the question, well, what does it really mean to grasp or to seize something? So I think of the old Kung Fu show or movie where he says, patience, young grasshopper. And he holds out his hand with a pebble in his hand and he says, snatch the pebble from my hand. And the young student tries to do so. This is how we would grasp something or seize something physically. And Paul uses the word grasp here now as to comprehend something, but with the mind. Being able to fully understand the idea of something with our minds. In our English word, this is helpful in our language, that the word comprehend carries this idea of mentally grasping something. However, it originally meant to lay hold of something in a more physical nature, a more material sense, similar to that young martial arts student. Paul's prayer is that we would lay a hold of or grasp a hold of the vast expanses of God's love. It's sort of like the monkey with the huge tail that's trying to hold on to the limb of the tree, or the sloth that's grabbing hold and grasping onto the tree as it tries to climb. Our word comprehend means to mentally grasp something. And it suggests still laying a hold of it ourselves, just as if we were grabbing a hold of something physically. In other words, Paul is saying that you can't understand something until you've grabbed a hold of it. I think today we seem to have the understanding of how wide, how long, and how high is God's love. But God truly wants us to grasp all four of these descriptors, even how deep his love is for us. And a person cannot understand this fullness of God's love apart from a genuine, spirit-empowered love in their life. Romans 5, verse 8 says, but God shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4, 10 says, in this love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sin. In 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Think again back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that could be how wide his love is. No one is outside of the width of his love, the width of his reach. His love is so broad, it stretches all the way around humanity, that he gave his only son. This could be how long God's love is. No one can be too far behind in life or too far behind for him to offer his hand to them, because God's love continues forever. It's indissolvable, unchangeable, perfect for all time, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. That is how deep God's love could be. Because it doesn't matter how lofty or lowly a life that you live, he offers this love, reaching down to pick us up. No one can be too far from his love that he's unable to reach them. And then the last part, but have everlasting life. And I like to think of this as how high God's love may take us. For his love is so high that his promises elevate us to the heavens. Christ our Lord descended into the lowest low before he rose again to the highest. He's touched the bottomless pit of our sin and our misery, to the bottomless pit of our sorrow and our need. And however low that we are today, we should fall into the everlasting loving arms of God. For we cannot fully gauge how vast is Christ's love, but we can survey it and we can enjoy it. One of the best ways I know how to comprehend and then to show God's love is to pray the same for others. And there's no better place to begin praying for those than those that are right outside your front door. Perhaps you've strayed from God today. Maybe you've been so busy trying to be liked that you've forgotten what it means to be loved. Maybe you've not been in God's word. Maybe it's been days or weeks or years since you sat down and studied and read God's word. Maybe you've just been busy. Maybe you just haven't had a chance to spend time with other believers. Maybe you've just stopped praying for others. I want to tell you today that just as Paul is praying for you, there are others praying for you today. And that God's love is here for you right now. Paul wrote this Valentine's letter that we would know the full extent of God's love. Won't you accept that love this morning and put your faith in Christ alone? Today is the day in which you can grasp how wide, long, deep, and high is the love of Christ for you. And now begin a prayer journey to bless every home around you with prayer. So I want to take a look for just a minute on how we would begin to pray for those around us. As I said this morning earlier, soon after the second service at noon, you'll receive an email that will let you sign up for this blesseveryhome.com online prayer tool. If you don't get that email, go to our church website, eastwhiteoak.church, click on Oak Central, or find our Facebook page. There's tons of details there. Let me give you the instructions. They are very simple. When you go to the link and you click it, you'll be redirected to a website on your smartphone or your computer, and you'll see a large button that says sign up. You'll be prompted to create an account with your name, your street address so it can tell where you are, and your email address. Whatever address you would like your prayer reminders sent to. And you'll be prompted to check your email that one time to confirm that it was you that made the account. And when you open up blesseveryhome.com for that first time and log in, it will prompt you to watch this short little 3-minute video. And it'll prompt you to do that every time you ever log in until you tell it to stop, because it wants you to watch the video. Don't dismiss that video. It's helpful for you to understand how to use this. And that's it. If you never logged back into the website, you'd be completely done. And automatically, you would begin to receive an email once a day with 5 different of your closest neighbors for you to pray for. Now, if you like customization and you like computers and you're very good at it, then you can change settings. You can change the amount of people that you pray for. You can go into the Google Maps on the webpage and you can see your home and those around you. You can begin to do virtual prayer walks with Google Maps. There's a place for you to take notes about conversations or information that you learn or share with your neighbors, and you can input that there as well. There are so many tools if you choose to explore them. But I said it's easy as 1, 2, 3. Sign up, check your email, and pray. It can be very simple. I want to show you this slide here. BlessEveryHome.com is an internet tool to recruit and equip Christians throughout America to be lights for Christ in their neighborhood. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world, and you are the light of the world." This means that rather than ignoring or isolating ourselves from our neighbors, we can become a light and begin a relationship with our neighbors through prayer using this unique tool. This next slide shows you here that it's free for the individual believer. Any Christian believer in America can receive this map and a list of their 40 closest neighbor homes, along with daily emails to remind you to pray for that day. And you can see from the slide how even on an iPad, you can see a map of your neighborhood here, and you can begin to pray for them. Pastor Scott would be very proud that I put a map on the slide this morning. East White Oak and the outreach team have partnered with Bless Every Home so that we can do this together for you at no cost. And the outreach team wants you to deeply consider this prayer ministry because the art of neighboring is just a little bit different during the wintertime. People aren't outside playing frisbee and having cookouts. Some of them may be, but most of them aren't. So let's redeem the cold winter months indoors as we pray this pandemic recesses and begin to pray fervently for our neighbors with the hopes that we would see them outside and in person soon as spring and summer come. You can see from this slide here what a daily email would look like. And you can see that on the right-hand side, it's very simple. And I promise you that you'll never receive an advertisement or anything else but your prayer reminder from blesseveryhome.com. Right now, over 6 million emails per year are being sent out to folks just like you that would like to pray with these lists. And to be honest, I did not want this opportunity of prayer to become a burden for me personally or it become an undesirable task because I wasn't completing it. So like I said, you can go in and you could change the frequency of how often you'd like to receive a prayer email update with 5 people. I started by changing it to Fridays only. And on Fridays, I received 5 neighbor names so that over the weekend when I had a little bit more time, I could begin that process of praying for my neighbors and not get behind and feel like I've missed something. So all that customization is there for you. And it's all private to you. You need to figure out your rhythm. You need to determine how much time you have to pray, and then you can start to seek to grow and mature from there. Moving on, we believe every believer in America should have at least a list to minister, a printed one, in case there were a disaster. In this website, you can print that list and have it for a time when the power goes out or a disaster strikes. Again, this is something that you will have to kind of look around for yourself to figure out how exactly do I print that off, but you could print a list out. So like last night when Ameren emailed me or Facebook told me that the power might go out for a scheduled outage last night at 10 o'clock because of the train accident yesterday. If something worse would have happened, I would have had printed out the list and names of my neighbors so I could go and care for them in that way. I want you to listen to what Chris Cooper, again, the director and creator of Bless Every Home, has to say about using this tool. Let's listen to him for just a minute.
So Chris, we've been talking about this blesseveryhome.com and how our church has this tool to use. Can you share with us what is this pray, care, share, disciple process? And you personally, how's it worked for you?
Well, it's been a wonderful blessing for me personally we start with prayer, right? And that's what you've been talking about here. And this is like a faith-building process. You know, Dr. Tony Evans says the reason that most Christians don't pray is because they don't think it works. So this is kind of like a boot camp in prayer. When you sign up on the website and you put in your address and your email address, right? And we immediately send you a map and a list of your 40 closest neighbor homes. And they're color-coded. Each one is color-coded so you can track your pray, care, share journey with each one. So as you prayed for them, you color them red. As you move into a caring relationship where you've met them and hopefully have a meal with them, then you color-code it yellow. And when you've shared the gospel with them, you turn it green, and when you discover that they are already disciples, or maybe the Lord's allowed you to lead them to himself, then you turn it blue. So every home in your mission field gets color-coded based where you are on your pray, care, share, disciple journey. And then you can look at your whole neighborhood, and then you can start networking with the other disciples within your neighborhood to do all kinds of just missional community efforts, whether you're putting on block parties. And Dave's book is just so great in helping people understand how to develop that lifestyle in those communities. So that's how it works. And then churches are able to invite their members to become lights for Christ to their own homes and see a map of all those. And what we've discovered is that the members of the same church don't know each other when they live in the same neighborhoods. So one of the most powerful things in this is just to get your lights to sign up, your members to sign up.
And that's what the outreach team's encouragement is to you, that you would sign up for this starting today when you have time. And the hope for the team here is that this year, we would be able to help our church attenders and members learn those that live in proximity nearest to them in their neighborhoods, their country roads, and their smaller towns, and that you would be able to live this pray, care, share relationship with other believers, to learn about them, start building connections with them, and then seek to make disciples with your neighbors. Did you know that East White Oak has over 10 different neighborhoods or small towns that each have 10 or more church attenders that live in a single prayer walkable neighborhood? So let's say you lived in Ironwood. Did you know that there's over 10 church attenders that live in Ironwood? There are the same in the neighborhood, I don't know the name of it, but just north of the airport, there's over 10 attender homes there. Just east or west of the airport, in an area all over Normal in Bloomington, there are pockets of groups of 10 or more neighbors that live in these little neighborhoods. In places like Twin Grove, in Hudson, Downs, El Paso, and Lexington, and the list goes on and on. Well, if there's that many people that are close to one another, you're able to then now take the art of neighboring by connecting with the neighbors that live nearest to you that attend your same church and begin building relationship with them because they're in proximity of the same place that you're trying to serve. We need this now more than ever because we're in an isolating era. And I want to watch one more video with Dave, the author of The Art of Neighboring, when he talks about how we serve our neighbors and how we combat isolation during the pandemic.
Dave, I got one more last question for you. How can neighboring help us in this time combat that social isolation and the loneliness of these days? And should we be partnering with other believers in our neighborhoods in this prayer and neighboring effort?
Yeah, doing this alone is a rough road. Or it can be, at least, you know. And so I think if the value of connecting with others, you know, in your neighborhood and just being able to have some friends. So it's nice when you like throw a block party if you're guaranteed that two other families are going to show up, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we've just learned that there's great value in really making sure that you are looking for some other people that live right around you who might have a common mission and who really have a desire for community. And maybe sometimes those people might not even have the same, you know, faith outlook on life that you do. You know, one of the best neighbors on my block is, you know, and one of my closest friends, you know, has different, you know, views than I do. And so I just think that, but he has a deep desire. He and his wife have a deep desire for community and for knowing the people that live around us. And so I think there's real potency in making sure that we do this with others. And, you know, Justin, this time right now is, again, it's just the soil is perfect for reaching out. People, mm-hmm. people more than ever now have a real clear understanding of their need for connection with others. And, you know, little things, like, I mean, I'm excited to, you know, go back where everybody's just shaking hands, or, you know, you see one of your close friends and you actually just like give them a hug. You know, though, I didn't think that those things were that big of a deal. But, you know, it's just been so weird to not have a lot of those normal small things that connect us with others. And so I think that people's understanding and their thirst for community has never been higher. And there's different ways to do that. But, you know, people are still in different places about how they're feeling around the pandemic. And so being really respectful of that and trying to be understanding that there's a real diverse perspective. That's one of the biggest challenges for us right now is how can we be thoughtful peacemakers in a time where everything seems so divided? And maybe it's just divided on your outlook on COVID. I mean, that's, you know, like, so just how do we kind of like try to understand where people are coming from and meet them where they're at. And so I think that's one of the best things that we can do to really make an impact in our cities and in our neighborhoods.
So be sure to check your email today at noon to sign up for blesseveryhome.com or go to our website, eastwhiteoak.church. Click on Oak Central to find all the details there. Stop by our Facebook page. You'll get the link to set up. You can even watch that full half an hour video that I did with Dave and Chris if you'd like. If you have any questions or you need help with this in the next week or two, contact me directly, justin@eastwhiteoak.church, or call the office and ask for me, and I'm glad to set up a time to help you learn to use this if you need it. On the outreach page, which you'll find through Oak Central, or if you go to the navigation and find Serve and go to Outreach, on the Outreach page, there are prayer tools. So if you struggle to find how to pray for a neighbor that you don't know by name, you can find the acronyms of ways to be able to pray for folks that you haven't met before that you can download. There are neighboring cards that you can print out and hand to your neighbors. There's a COVID neighboring toolkit that you can download for free, and that's there for you. All the details that you need to hold the best spring block party this side of the pandemic, the details are there. And I hope to talk more about that as we get to warmer weather. If you'd like to look at any of those things, you may. It's all there, resources free to you, the church. Let us close in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we ask that as you prepare our hearts to receive this great love that you have for us, Lord, maybe we need to be reminded of that today. Maybe we needed to receive it for the first time. Lord, let us now in prayer lift up our neighbors to you. Ask for their well-being and their health. Lord, for their stability, for friendships and relationships. And Lord, ultimately, that they would know you as their Lord and Savior. This is our prayer. Allow this tool to be something that is encouraging and not discouraging to us. Lord, a way that we can pray for our neighbors one by one and that many would come to know you as their Lord and Savior. This we pray in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.